I'd like to say hello to my brothers and sisters. Minister Timothy Robinson here with a message. This message I did for the eulogy at my late Uncle Osa Lee Driver's funeral. And I'm going to go ahead and get it recorded and record it so we can get it out. There was a request to get this message out. So we're going to go ahead and get this message out. And let us pray. Father, help me thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth, rightly divided. And Lord, we pray as we record this message that those who listen in, that they will be encouraged, that they will be enlightened, and they will be edified when they come from listening to the words of truth, right, or divided. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Genesis 2:16-17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Romans 5:12. "Wherefore is by one man, Adam sinned, entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, Adam and Eve died spiritually that day, and later on, and physically, if you read the book of Genesis, think around Genesis 5. But notice God didn't specify how we are going to die physically. Death can come through sickness, robbery, accidents, and many other means. But one thing for sure, my brothers and sisters, it's coming, not unless we are raptured out of here. 2 Corinthians 4:16 said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." All these earthly doctors can do is help relieve symptoms temporary to some future date. There has only been one doctor who has the ability to save anybody. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who rescues us from the grave. Only he saves us from the death and destruction. Our physical bodies will die, but our soul has hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 gave us some comforting words concerning our loved ones who have died in Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Comfort one another with these words," in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, "but I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, the details of the doctrine of the rapture are designed to fill us with the thrill of anticipation for it, while others are designed to produce comfort and consolation. Paul is writing to believers concerning their loved ones who have died as believers. The word says, "For if we believe," in other words, if we have faith, which is taking God at his word, "that Jesus died, he buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures," the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, "then you will be at this glorious event, the rapture." Now, the hopelessness of the unbeliever, my brothers and sisters, the Christian hope of the resurrection brings comfort in the face of death, and in contrast to the hopelessness of the unbeliever. These words by the Apostle Paul were written for our encouragement in times like these. We can take these inspired words of God and remind ourselves of the location of the souls of those who have died, possessing a testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ. Furthermore, we can take heart that we will see them again and we will know them. We Christians anticipate the day when we will be reunited with loved ones who have died in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will return to earth, atmosphere, to receive unto himself all members of the church, the body of Christ, living and deceased. It will be a very quick event when all believers will receive glorified bodies fashioned like unto Jesus Christ's resurrected body. That's Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Now, to those who have rejected the gift of God, eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord, you will not see your loved ones who have died in Christ Jesus. You will receive eternal damnation. Many ask, how can God allow people to go to hell if they have never heard the gospel? Actually, God is fair and righteous, as every person alive today has already heard from God. Romans 1:20 reads, for the invisible things of him through the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen to that, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says we are all without excuse. The Apostle Paul explained that creation itself reveals its invisible attributes. This refers to the divine attributes that belong to the person of God. Paul specifies one of the attributes when he next mentions his eternal power. Anyone can look at creation and logically summarize that it was made by and is controlled by a creator who possesses power beyond human comprehension. In order to get to the lake of fire, you have to reject the revelation even of Christ that is in the world. You have to reject the gospel that is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. You have to reject the free pardon. You have to pass through a lot of gates to get to the lake of fire. You have to reject the sweet words of Scripture. My brothers and sisters, you have to reject the words of the Apostle Paul where he says, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, though the wages of sin are death. You have to reject the wonderful promise that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. You have to walk past the open tomb. It's not a question of the justice of God. It's a question of men and women loving sin and buying the delusion that in the end, you'll be good enough. Don't blame God. Hell and the lake of fire are for people who forever will have no one to blame but themselves. Sinners, who are you to question the Almighty God? Sinner, who are you who have no knowledge of the things of God? To speak of what you don't understand. You say God is a loving God and he wouldn't send no one to hell and on to the lake of fire for eternity. Yes, God is love and is a loving God, but don't forget that he's the righteous judge also. Sinner, who are you to question God's justice? Sinner, where were you when God laid the foundations of the earth and he laid the measures thereof and stretched the line upon it? Sinner, do you know who decided how big the earth would be? Who stretched out a measuring line on the earth like a builder would do something he's building? Sinner, can you tell God what is the earth laid on and who laid the cornerstone of the earth? Where were you when God laid the foundation of the earth? Do you know how the sun rises in a different place every morning, changing according to the seasons, moving from north to south? Are you able to tell the sun just where to get up so that it marks the exact season of the year? Sinner, there's only one thing you can do, and that is put your faith in the finished work at Calvary's cross. God, the sovereign and omnipotent creator who answers to no one, God is going to have a day in court with every sinner who rejected the gospel, the grace of God. God is the answer. God, as the creator of the universe, owes nothing to anyone. The question is, if you died in the next second, next minute, next hour, tonight, Where will your soul spend eternity? God doesn't send anybody to hell. His desire is that everyone be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 3-4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." But if we reject Christ's sacrifice for our sin, then God has no choice but to give us what we deserve. God would not send us to hell, but we would send ourselves. Our eternal destiny thus lies in our own hands. It is a matter of our free choice where we would spend eternity. Believe the gospel, my brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you have saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Eternal life cannot be earned. It must be accepted as a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." God the Father gave Jesus authority to take up his life again from the grave where his body lay dead. Christ died for our sins. He didn't have any sins of his own to pay for, so he chose to pay for our sins. Thank God. This is how God shows his love for us. He died for us so that we could have righteousness and eternal life as a free gift. But that's not all. If he had only died, this would not have been enough. Not only did he die, but he also rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ's resurrection purchased victory over death and proved that he was truly God. It is on the basis of Christ's resurrection that God can offer you newness of life. And this is what Paul says saves us. So we believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. We put our faith and trust in him as the one who paid the full penalty for our sins. It guarantees us that we have eternal life, my brothers and sisters, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If not faith in the gospel, eternal damnation. Just getting saved, my brothers and sisters, is not enough. We must be transformed. Now, there is something that concerns me and grieves my spirit, and that is many saints do not understand the difference between salvation, being saved from the penalty of sin, and transformation. Now, many have this perception or idea that once you are saved, you are miraculously transformed. In other words, all your ungodly behaviors have changed for the good. The Bible says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Galatians 4:16, where here's some truth, my brothers and sisters. Whatever ungodly behaviors we were engaged in before we were saved by believing the gospel, the grace of God, those behaviors are still there. We all stumble in many ways. What we do behind closed doors will be manifest in our walk, behavior, and conduct. What we fill our minds with will affect the way we think and act. We must be transformed. In other words, our thinking must change through the word of God. And when our thinking change, our behaviors will change. Many wonder, how can Christians act and look like the world? Simple answer, they haven't been transformed. In 1 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3, Apostle Paul is addressing saints who are attaining their testimony for Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Apostle Paul had adults acting like babies. When we have been transformed, we will think like Christ, do things Christ's way, and labor with Christ at what he's doing. That's godliness, my brothers and sisters. Paul says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My brothers and sisters, the Bible is the mind of Christ in printed form. God, 1 Corinthians 2:16, God does not want you as a Christian to be conformed to the world's example. He wants to take his word and renew your mind so that you would think like he does, and then your life will reflect the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The key to the Christian life is not obeying a list of rules, but rather placing your faith in sound doctrine, so that sound doctrine can transform you from the inside out for God's glory. So whatever your specialty was before you were saved, it's still there. So if you were a cheater and a liar before you were saved, you will continue to cheat and lie until you are transformed. If you were a cheating husband or a wife, you are saved, but you will continue to cheat on your spouse. If you were an alcoholic and a drug user, you will continue to abuse alcohol and drugs. If you were men pleaser, angry, evil, and mean, were weak, with no backbone, jealous person, men chaser, or women chaser, arrogant, proud, foul-mouthed person, lazy, or a person who made excuses for everything, those behaviors will still be there. All the ungodly behaviors will still be right there. We don't just go from unloving to loving, from cheating to being honest, from stealing to earning an honest living, from corrupt communication to loving and edifying speech, from infidelity, in other words, cheating on your husband or wife, to fidelity, faithful, from abusing alcohol and drugs to being sober and controlled, from being arrogant and proud to being humble. We must be transformed. Only way to be transformed is by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Our minds must be changed. Our thinking and the right behaviors will follow. As saints in the body of Christ and a believer in Christ Jesus, the way we live reflects on Jesus and the genuineness of how others perceive the gospel to be. As saints in the body of Christ, the church, we must constantly remember that the Christian life is one of growing and maturing and learning. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Christ lives his life in and through us. We do not live the Christian life because we cannot live the Christian life. As we Christians study and believe the Holy Scriptures rightly divided, using dispensational Bible study, and the indwelling Holy Ghost will utilize that sound doctrine to transform us. The more sound doctrine we store in our inner man, the more materials the Holy Ghost will use inside of us to spiritually mature us. 1 Thessalonians 2:3, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Do like the Apostle Paul said, be ye transformed, my brothers and sisters. Be ye transformed. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this opportunity. We pray as those who listen in that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, Lord, and they will come away from this word of God, understanding that you have given us words for encouragement during our time of bereavement, that you have given us words of encouragement, that we will see our loved ones who died in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will see them again. And Lord, that you have given us doctrine that will transform our lives. We pray that as we study your word, right, divide it, and we take it and apply it and walk in it and be transformed by it, that we will speak boldly for you, Lord Jesus, that we will stand for you and represent you in the dispensation of grace. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.